Revelation 20, and we have been studying the book of Revelation. We just completed chapter 19. Now, just to see, does anybody know where we were in chapter 19? Where we were in chapter 19 and what was going on in chapter 19? Raise your hand if you know, if somebody said to you, where are we in Revelation 19 and what's going on? Brenda, what would you say? Say that again. Good for you, the bride, the wedding in heaven of the bride. That's right. And who is the bride of Christ? Who is the bride of Christ? Joe?
We are.
The church. And that is all people that are saved, whether Jew or Gentile. They are now no longer under the law that was given to Israel with all of the sacrifices, but we're in the... Yes, I do. We're in the church dispensation, and we're under the time called the church age, church dispensation. And that began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was set down and baptized us into union with Christ, infused us into a spiritual body. Now, even Israel that was saved during the Old Testament and the nations that were saved during the Old Testament that died, they too are now part of the body of Christ. So when the rapture happens the dead in Christ are raised first, that will be all of the Jews and Gentiles that lived before Christ, and us together in the New Testament, in the church, will all be part of that bride of Christ. And so in Revelation 19, you see the wedding of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and there is going to be a great time. And we're the bride of Christ. Now, also, there is an announcement made of something that's going to happen on earth that's a good thing. And what is that good thing after the wedding in heaven? Diane? The marriage supper of the Lamb. It will be in Israel. We'll be at the head table. If you're a born-again believer, you'll be there. You'll be served by angels. The guests will be the nation of Israel that have been saved after the rapture, and they'll be there. And also the guests will be the Gentile nations that survived the day of the Lord in the 70th week and went into the kingdom and were saved before they went into the kingdom at the judgment of the nations by accepting the Messiah and being able to be on his right hand and being chosen by him. And they'll be able to be there, and they'll be the guests. But we'll be the heavenly bride at that reception with glorified bodies. They're going to have regular bodies, but we'll have glorified bodies. Now, because of the climate change, those bodies will live a lot longer than we now live in the harsh climate conditions that we have. Because after the day of the Lord and before the millennium, there's going to be a huge climate change that will allow no hurricanes and no earthquakes, and a lot of the junk we have today won't be there, and it will be a canopy that will be a greenhouse, God's greenhouse, that will have global warming in a nice way over the whole world. And the world will be a hyperbaric chamber, the oxygen-rich chamber. It's going to be a glorious time. People at 30 years old will be 500. They will look like they're 30, and they'll be having babies. That's how it will be. Noah was 500 when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So it's like before the flood. So that's going to happen. But the marriage supper of the Lamb will be on the first day of the millennium. So these things are coming, and the Bible predicts these. And right now we see the revelation stirring up. Before the revelation, I mentioned there'll be a Psalm 83 war that will end all the Middle East conflicts as far as the Arabs trying to drive Israel out of the Middle East. Ever since 1948, they've been trying to drive them out. They keep getting beat. There's going to be one last major knockout to the nations surrounding Israel, and Israel's going to win it. If this is the Psalm 83 war, not sure it is, but if it is, because there have been other conflicts like this that weren't the final, but if it is, Israel will expand its borders into Jordan, into Saudi Arabia. It will go all the way to the Euphrates River. It'll be humongous, and it'll be rich. That will stir up the wrath of Turkey and the Central Asian republics, possibly even part of Russia, to attack Israel. Certainly Turkey with allies, and that will be the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. But right now, look for two things. Psalm 83, where Israel wins, expands their borders, takes out their enemies. And number two, Jeremiah 49, where Israel with other nations, possibly the U.S., will attack Iran's nuclear sites, knock them out, cause a nuclear catastrophe in Iran, and the refugees will go all over the world. Look for that. It's coming to a world near you, if I'm right on, and I'm not as dogmatic as I am on Revelation, because it's hard to place prophecy, but if I'm right, Psalm 83 and Jeremiah 49 will proceed before we get into these things that we've been studying. Yep. Yeah. No, Ezekiel, that's a very good point.
And what was it? Where in Ezekiel was that?
Okay. Psalm 83 is what we call the inner ring of Islamic nations that hate Israel. And in Psalm 83, the reason they attack Israel is because they just want to get rid of their houses. They want to get them out of the land. They want to drive them into the sea. They're like a chicken bone caught in their neck. They can't stand them. They never want two states, a two-state solution. They just use that as a fake thing. Hamas is really telling you what they want, and that's to get rid of Israel. Hezbollah, likewise. And they're all going to unite to get rid of Israel in this final war. And God will cause Israel to defeat them and expand their territory. Instead of driving them out, Israel's just going to get bigger and expand their territory. Now, that's Psalm 83. Jeremiah 49, who do you think sponsoring Hezbollah, Hamas? Iran. And Iran is somebody that Israel wants out because 3 months they're going to have nuclear weapons. 3 months. As soon as they get nuclear weapons, they're going to bomb Israel. They know that. So Israel's got to knock them out before 3 months, I would think. And so Jeremiah 49 is an attack from the air upon Iran, which is called Elam, E-L-A-M, an ancient nation in Iran. And that's going to cause nuclear fallout. Those two wars are kind of together, I think. Ezekiel 38 and 39 comes later. That is an attack upon Israel by an outer ring of Islamic nations. And they're attacking Israel not just to drive them out of the land. That's not their main motivation. They want to attack Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Does anybody know what the motivation is? Yes.
Extermination.
Well, that's more the Psalm 83. This one is to get their wealth. They're jealous of their wealth. Because after Psalm 83, Israel's going to become one of the wealthiest nations on the earth. I'm hopeful that Donald Trump will be reinstated and Israel and the United States will be going through a time of great prosperity and peace and blessing. I'm hopeful. Pray for that. But Israel will be so wealthy, they'll have oil wealth, they'll have natural gas wealth, which they already have, and it's growing. They're going to have all kind of mineral wealth. And these nations like Turkey, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and all the stands, the Central Asian republics, possibly Russia, they're going to attack to get that wealth. And they'll overwhelm Israel. Israel, in Psalm 83, their army will defeat the enemy. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, their army can't. They're just overwhelming them. Any allies with Israel who are also wealthy, like maybe Saudi Arabia and maybe even the Western nations like the United States and so forth, they won't be able to even do anything against this invasion. They'll just raise a protest. But does anybody know how they win that war if they're overwhelmed? Patty? God himself steps in. He says, okay, now I'm going to take these people out. And he's going to send fire upon them. He's going to cause earthquakes. He's going to cause them to fight each other like we're praying will happen with the deep state in the United States. And they're going to take one another out. And Israel will win that war. Now you say, if they do that, then how do we get to this? Well, when they win that war, instead of trusting God who's helped them, they're going to get an opportunity now to be part of the UN and enter the EU, the European Union. And they're going to sign a covenant with the European Union so that they can be recognized as a nation that is to be given peace. And they're going to make that covenant with the beast and the head of the EU and the UN. And they're going to then actually be able to have their temple sacrifices on a legal basis. Now, they may already be having their temple. Maybe Donald Trump will help them get their temple if he gets in. I don't know. It doesn't make him the beast. But the beast, he will make it legal for 7 years, and he'll be the head of the EU, and they'll sign. And that will kick off the seventh week. So instead of trusting God after Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 and 39, they're trusting the global government, the globalist. And that's what's going to happen. So what we're studying in Revelation is beyond this time, however long that will be. I don't know how long it will be. It could be just a few years. It could be 60 years, 100 years. I don't know. But I do know what's coming, and I know how to recognize it, and you just get it. Now, if you read the book of Revelation, you're promised in chapter 1 a blessing if you what? Keep it in memory. Keep it in memory means that you recognize and understand it, and you can relate it to what's going on. You're promised a blessing, and you should relate it to people after you, because if the Lord tarries, delays his coming, you need to pass it on. You need to pass on the information, right? And churches that believe that we're going to be raptured out of here before this, they're not passing on the right understanding so that our faith can overcome these troubles when we face them and look up. Okay? It's all very good. Now, what we're to now is we're after the wedding in heaven. We're after this whole seven-year period, after the beginning of sorrows, the great tribulation, day of the Lord. We're after all of that. We're after the 30-day reclamation period and the battle of Armageddon at the end of that. We're after that. We're after Matthew 25 and the judgment of the Gentiles that survive all this, and now they go into the thousand years. And we are now looking at the thousand-year reign of peace, which is the next thing on your map here. If we had it, it would be 1,000 years of peace on earth. And this is the final dispensation. What's a dispensation? Does anybody know the theme of the whole Bible? What's the theme of the whole Bible? We've said it before, but I want to give it to you again. Diane? The mediatorial kingdom. So we'll just say the kingdom. We'll just say M kingdom, mediatorial kingdom. And what is on earth? And we'll put on earth. And what is that? That is to restore the reign of God through a man over the earth, not the devil. He's reigning now. Adam was the first king. He lost it through sin. And God replaced him with the last Adam, who's Jesus Christ. And the whole Bible's about that. And not until Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom do we have the fulfillment of this mediatorial kingdom. But all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we have the program of the mediatorial kingdom on earth. And you have it in the Old Testament. And you have what's called dispensations. Dispensations, what are they? They are administrations of God's kingdom program. And how does God administer the kingdom program? Well, it started out with Adam in what's called the dispensation of what? Innocence. He was innocent. And that was the kingdom of God. Then when Adam sinned, we started the dispensation of conscience. And what's conscience? Man knows in his conscience the difference between right and wrong. He didn't have a Bible yet, and he lived under that dispensation of conscience. And then that went on until the flood. And by the way, every dispensation ends in failure of man. Adam ended in failure, innocence. The second dispensation, conscience, ended in failure. How? The flood. The third dispensation of human government. And human government is still going on, in a sense, and won't end until the second coming, but it's been superseded by other dispensations. But human government's going to end in failure because we know the governments are going to be seized by Satan and the beast. So the next dispensation, so you got conscience, you got conscience, you've got two, innocence, three is human government, four is what we call the dispensation of the promise or patriarchs, the patriarchs. And that's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and God promises them the promises of the kingdom of God on earth. We know about that, the nation of Israel. And then five, we have the nation of Israel, and we have them under the law. So the dispensation of law, that ends at the cross, and then is established the church dispensation. And what dispensation are we in right now? The church. And then what's the seventh and last dispensation? The actual mediatorial kingdom on earth. That's the millennium. That's the one we're studying, the thousand-year reign of Christ. So we're here right now, but we're going to be there. And now every dispensation ends in failure. Israel failed under law, human government failed, innocency, conscience. The church is going to fail in the sense that we're not going to bring in the kingdom. And evil men and seducers are going to get waxed worse and worse, and we're going to wind up in the Great Tribulation at the end of the church dispensation. The mediatorial kingdom, is that going to end in failure? Yes. And I'll tell you in the class today how. And in Ephesians chapter 1, this dispensation is called the dispensation of the fullness of times. It's the seventh and last dispensation. It will end in failure, just like all the others. The millennium? Yes. Now, in Revelation 20, that's where we are today. We're studying the millennium, not in detail. We're doing a flyover of the millennium. A flyover. We're going to look at the entire thousand-year reign. In chapter 21 and chapter 22 of Revelation, you are simply looking at the millennium in detail. In detail. Revelation only covers the seventh and last dispensation. It doesn't cover eternity. So you're flying over in chapter 20, and that's what we're doing today. Any questions about this? That's a lot of material, but any questions about that? Okay, then let's go to our notes. And we know, of course, that before this wonderful time, we've got to face this time with these guys. And this guy is the beast, and then the Jewish Antichrist, and behind them is the dragon. You know who that is, Satan. And Satan is a lot of power, and he's made himself known in this world, okay? Whenever we try to do something for God in this church, we see the devil attacking. And I've seen the devil attacking this week a lot of people. I'm thinking that we must be getting ready for a time of blessing because we're getting a lot of hit, and opposition precedes, you know, blessing. But let's go to our notes. We're going to look at the questions now and fill in the blanks and talk about this this final dispensation of human government here. The millennium. Okay, so we're in lesson 38, chapter 20, and now we're going down to question number one. It says, turn to Revelation 20, 1 through 3. Here the apostle John is watching as an angel descends from heaven to earth. And the angel's holding the key in one hand and carrying a huge chain in the other. So let's look at that. It says in Revelation 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be filled. And after that, he must be loose for a season. Now, before we talk about this, during the Battle of Armageddon, when the Lord comes down at the end of the 30 days on a white horse with his angels on white horses, who does he take out first from the army of the United Nations? He takes out the beast and the Jewish false prophet, Antichrist. And where does he put them? Sarge?
In the lake of fire.
In the lake of fire. That's called the final hell. The final hell. Hey, sweetie. Good to see you. Hi. Hi, guys. Good to see you. That's the final hell. Hey, good to see you, Tavon. All right, that's the final hell. Now, that's not where Satan is going. God does not put Satan in the final hell, the lake of fire, at the beginning of the millennium, according to Revelation 23. He's the worst of this horrible trinity of evil. Why not put him in the final hell? Because God has plans for him. He's going to let him out again at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And that's how this dispensation, Joe, is going to end in failure, because the devil's going to be released. You say, why would God do that? God's trying to teach us something. Don't rebel against me, because you are unable to fight evil. Once you get into evil and sin, you are captive to it. And you'll always fail unless God intervenes. He's trying to get glory for his name and teach you a lesson. Humanism is not the way to go. But man is so prideful, he's always putting faith in himself. And God's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. So, Satan is not put in the final hell, the lake of fire. He's put in to, it says, the bottomless pit. Now, what's the bottomless pit? Well, you should know this. If you have the earth, where did I put that thing? If you have the earth, and I don't even know where I put it. I'll find it. If you have the earth here, you have the mantle of the earth, which is just a small... Nobody's even ever dug through the mantle of the earth. We haven't had machines that can... And then you have the inner part of the earth, and then you have a hollow place in the middle that we might call the bottomless pit, because if you dug down, and you could do it and get all the way into here, you'd have no bottom or top, because you're just in a hollow place in the middle. It's dark and hot, and it's present hell. Present hell. That's where people are right now that died and didn't get saved. They're there. And they're not able to get out of there. And that's hell. And so when this happens, the millennium starts, God is going to get an angel here, it says, and he's going to come down from heaven. He's going to tie the devil up and put him in this bottomless pit. And he won't be able to get out of there for 1,000 years. But he's not in the final hell yet. But he's in there to bind him up and to stop him from wreaking havoc on the earth. So what a wonderful time this is going to be. A time when beautiful climate, a time when Jesus Christ is ruling on the earth on top of Mount Zion. In the temple, he'll be in the temple there. He'll be in the Holy of Holies on the throne. People will be able to travel from all over the earth and walk up there and worship him in his temple. That'll be such a wonderful time during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We as the church will reign over the earth and be over the judiciary, over the executive branches of government, over, you see, the over the religious teachings and everything. It will be a glorious time. Jesus will be a benevolent dictator. He will not allow homosexuality. He will not allow immodest dress. He will not, you won't see mixed bathing and nudity on beaches. He won't allow it. He's a Jewish dictator king over it all. And the church will reign with him. And guys like me will be setting up the loss. I mean, it'll be a glorious time. People will get saved. The Holy Spirit will be poured out. It'll be a glorious time. And everybody that starts the 1,000 years will be saved, because everybody that goes into the millennium will be born again. You don't get in there unless you're born again, right? Okay. Now, they're going to have a lot of children during the millennium. So we'll talk about that as we go forward here. But let's look at the next thing. It says here, and I'm going back to going back here if I can get my notes proper. Number two in your notes, Jesus, number one is 1,000 years. Number two, Jesus is going to return and rule on the earth for these 1,000 years. The devil will be locked up. The bride of Christ will rule with the Lord, glorified bodies. The nation of Israel will be the head of all nations and live in their mortal bodies with other nations who are saved on the first day of the millennium. And there is a recurring theme in Revelation 20, and it's a theme of 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Today, we finish the class. We're going to discuss and overview all of that 1,000 years. And look at number three. We're doing a flyover of this 1,000-year reign of Christ from his temple on Mount Zion. What a time that will be. And people will be traveling to Israel during that time to see all that is going on. So we have basically an overview of this, and we're looking at it in number four of your notes, and it talks about an overview of this. Now, does anybody have a question so far about this 1,000-year reign of Christ? All right, let's go forward then. Let's look at verse number 4 of chapter 20. He says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And it says in verse 5, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Okay, so people that did take the mark of the beast, did worship his image, and die during this time, or meet the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon and so forth, when they die, they are going to be in hell during the 1,000 years. Satan is going to be locked up in a chamber of hell, but all the people that have followed Satan and taken the mark, they're going to be in hell as well during the 1,000 years. But anybody that did not take the mark was saved. They're going to be raised from the dead, and they're going to rule with Christ in the millennium. Or those that didn't die and they got changed at the rapture and met the Lord in the air, they're going to rule with Christ. So we're going to talk about that next week, a little bit more about the people that are raised and rule with Christ. We'll talk about that more in detail. But this is an overview and plan of God for everything. Now, I said the millennium is another dispensation. It's the final dispensation that ends in failure. Now, does anybody understand how it's going to end in failure, based on the teaching I've just basically given? Sarge?
Satan is released from prison.
Yep.
He's had 1,000 years to plot his revenge, right?
Yes, sir.
He's going to start the process all over again.
Yes, sir.
That's just my guess.
All right. But if everybody's saved, how is he going to get them to rebel? Kathy? They're going to have children for 1,000 years. Remember, when you're 500 years old, they'll be able to have kids. So they're going to have kids. These kids are not all going to get saved. You say, well, it's perfect condition. They have glorified people around teaching the word of God. They get to see the Lord in Jerusalem. He's reigning. They have so many opportunities. They can even see the city of Babylon burning still, because during the millennium, they'll be able to have field trips. Everybody will have to be in Christian school. Public school will not be allowed. I mean, it's going to be beautiful, right? Everybody's going to get saved. No. No, not everybody. Well, the Satan will be bound. Yeah, but they still have that old nature. And a lot of people are going to go along to get along. They're going to dress modestly. They're going to be nice. They're going to worship. But in their hearts, they're going to be standing up, though they're sitting down in their seats at worship. In their hearts, they're standing up. And they're just looking for an opportunity to rebel. They just don't have the opportunity. There's no way. Jesus is ruling with a rod of iron. That doesn't change the heart. By the way, we can't guarantee the change of heart. God Almighty had sons of God without belly buttons. He made them, the fallen angels. They rebelled. How many angels are going to rebel, did rebel against God with Satan? Yep,
one-third.
And God had a perfect place, and yet they rebelled. This is going to be a near-perfect opportunity for people, and yet there are going to be enough children born who will have children, who will have children, who will have children, right? The earth's going to explode in population. Not everyone's going to be saved. And so at the end of the 1,000 years, the Lord goes, okay, let's see how you're going to do after this. I've given you now the best ever. Just like the Jews, didn't he give them the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night? Didn't he give them his presence in the wilderness? Didn't he give them his laws? Didn't he give them his priests? Didn't he give them his prophets? Didn't he? And what'd they do? They killed him. They killed the Lord. It all ended in failure at the cross. That was the end of dispensational law. And this is going to end in failure. And the Lord's going to say, okay, devil, you're going to be released. And he lets him go. And he goes, and what does he do? He goes to all these people and he says, hasn't he been a harsh ruler over you? What about your freedom? What about your ability to express yourself? What about you doing what you want to do? And he's going to preach his old religion. Ye shall be as gods, knowing or deciding for yourself what's good and what's evil. Not having somebody from a book, some strict guy, tell you what to do. You tell him off. You want to wear your short shorts? Ladies, do it. Only in America. Only in America, only in the 20th century and the 21st century do we have this kind of crap going on. But you do it, ladies. Come on. Flash the skin. And you have your rock music, man. He's kept that down. You can't have your rock music. You get it back. Well, how are we going to do it? We got to march, all of you, en masse to Jerusalem. We got to march an army to the temple. I'll lead the army, and we'll go up there and knock his rear end off the throne from the mount. That's what he's going to tell them. Yeah.
I always been told or believed that the 1,000-year reign was supposed to be so nice.
It will be. It'll be wonderful. But even when it's so nice, unless your heart is changed, you're still going to be the same old rat you've always been.
Oh, so we're still going to have sinful
nature? No. Not the church. We'll have glorified bodies. We'll live in the New Jerusalem, which during the 1,000 years, the New Jerusalem will hover over the Temple Mount and will share the temple with the earthly people. But and then we'll reign over the earth. We can't sin. We can't be hurt. Not the church. I'm talking about people on the earth during this time that go into this millennium. They're going to be doing this at the behest of Satan. Oh, thank you. We're going to be doing this at the behest of Satan. And so there's going to be this huge attack upon the Lord and his temple. How long do you think it will take the Lord to cook them? About 2 seconds. Boom, zap. boom, zack, it's over. It's over. It'll be like Mike Tyson in his prime, you know. It's over. But the thing of it is, he's going to take the devil then. I'll get it. He's going to take the devil, and he is going to throw him where, Dorothy? Where do you think he's going to throw the devil at that point? No longer in here at the center of the earth. He'll never be released again. Yes. The lake of fire, which is the final hell. Turn that off, please. The lake of fire that is the final hell. He'll never come out again. And everybody that didn't trust the Lord and be saved, they're going to be in that final lake of fire with the devil forever and ever. This will no longer be here. And God will cause the earth to go on forever without the devil. And he may take away the sinful nature from man by changing his body. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but I know that that will be eternity. But Revelation just deals with the thousand year. Now, next week, we're going to look a little bit more at the reign with Christ that we do. But I just wanted to give you the overview, all right? So take that with you. See you next week. Amen and amen. Okay, just come on up front.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm we got a couple of places.
Huh?
We have a couple of places that we have to talk to. And I'm going to have to put Matt.
Yeah, well.